I'm Lillian Vasquez with Lifestyles on KVCR. Thanks for listening. The Huck Finn Jubilee Music Festival is back for a 42nd year. This year's event will be held at Cucamonga-Guasti Regional Park in Ontario. I'll speak with Roger Melanowski, co-owner of the event. The musical event is jammed with traditional and progressive bluegrass, Americana, and acoustic tunes. Plus so much more with activities for all members of the family. I'll also speak with another mayor, this time from Murrieta, as part of our Mayor Movie Moments. We'll talk movies, where he'll share his top five movies and why he likes them. Then he'll share what he's proud of in his city. My conversation with Roger Malinowski and Mayor Kelly Ciardo is coming up next, right after the NPR newscast. This is Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez.
My name's Forrest. Forrest Gump.
What is it you want, Barry? What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down. Hey, that's a pretty good idea.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Hey, this is not a test.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
He's looking at you, kid.
My guest is Mayor Kelly Ciardo, and we are going to talk movies. I love talking movies, so this is my opportunity to ask you what your top five favorite movies are. And I know that's kind of hard, so welcome to Lifestyles.
Well, you know what? It is a tough question, because as I go through movies, there's a lot of different movies that I like. But I try to narrow down to five that it's kind of the ones I don't get tired of watching. I figured, well, those must be somewhat my favorites.
Well, that's how I do it, too, although I have to confess there's no way I could do it to five movies. I can do top 25, but five is just too hard. All right, well, let's get started on your five, and this is in no particular order. The first one I have on my page is Forrest Gump. It's a 1994 movie starring Tom Hanks and Gary Sinise, and it is one of my favorites, absolutely. Why is Forrest Gump one of yours?
You know what? It's because here is a guy that is very accomplished, and he doesn't even know it. He doesn't really even realize it. You know, he's kind of beyond humble about it, and he's not doing all these things on purpose, and he's not doing all these things to bring, you know, aggrandizement to himself. He's just going through life and manages to stumble into all of these different scenarios where he... anybody else would, be talking about how great they are and how successful they are, and he doesn't even give it a second thought.
Yeah.
And so that really, I just kind of like that humbleness about the movie and about the character, and that, you know, despite the appearances of him having a disability, you know, I would imagine he's somewhere on the autism spectrum somewhere, and yet that doesn't concern him. Maybe it does a couple of times, but he doesn't focus on that. He just lives his life and does it better than most people who are very, very aware of what they're doing.
And I love the Gary Sinise character as well, Lieutenant Dan.
Yes, Lieutenant Dan, yeah, because, you know, at first you're kind of not liking Gary, that character that much.
Right.
But in the end, you find that he really was just trying to mold shape and keep people
alive,
take care of his men.
Right.
And in the end, his men, you know, and in this particular case, Forrest Gump, you know, winds up taking care of him the best way a human can.
Yep, it's a beautiful relationship. All right, let's move on to another one. And I haven't seen this in quite some time, and I totally forgot who was in it and who it was narrated by, but it's called A River Runs Through It. It's narrated by Robert Redford, and it's starring Brad Pitt and Tom Skerritt. Tell me, why is this on your list?
Well, number one, because it's kind of one of those movies where it runs through like an entire lifetime of a person. And, you know, all the adventures and misadventures along the way, you know, in the end, you're kind of left with the memories that you created. And, you know, sometimes in this particular movie, you know, he's talking about how it haunts him at the end. But he's out in that same stream. The same stream that was there at the beginning of his life is there at the end. The only thing that's different is him, because now he's really old and getting ready to check out. but the world keeps going. You know, to me, it's kind of one of these deeper meaning type movies. Obviously, the setting and the scenery of where it takes place and everything is just beautiful.
Which takes place in rural Montana?
Yeah, mountains and, you know, nature like that is has a calming effect on people. And it's just that whole, the guy goes through his entire life, and at the end, the only thing that he has left that's still what he started with is that river. And
hence the name, a river runs through it. All right.
Yep.
Let's move on to your next choice, which is The Green Mile. I have seen this movie. I like this movie. It stars Tom Hanks, and Gary Sinise is in this one as well. It was written by Stephen King, and the star of this one, well, it is Tom Hanks, is also Michael Clark Duncan. Why is this on your list?
Well, I really like Michael Clark Duncan as an actor, and it's sad when he passed away.
Yes.
This movie was one of those where, again, somebody is misinterpreted as being somebody really bad when he was actually somebody really good.
Yes.
In the end, he doesn't fight that perception of him.
Right.
And so nobody winds up knowing the difference except for, you know, Tom Hanks and some of the other guys that were involved when he went and, you know, miracle cured the lady.
Right.
And again, it's one of those deeper meaning movies, you know, a guy at the end of the, he's outliving everything. He has no idea when his end is coming. So he doesn't know whether he did something good or something bad by, you know, not going necessarily to bat for the character that Michael Clark Duncan played.
Right. I'm going to have to check that one out again. I remember liking it before. The thing that threw me off with that one is that it was written by Stephen King, and that always scares me.
Right. You know, I'm not usually a big Stephen King fan.
Nor am I.
But I am I tend to like Tom Hanks movies.
Me too.
Yeah, but this one was quite different from, you know, yes, there was, you know, a little bit of gore at the, you know, with the two girls that got killed by that guy. And there's also something about the nostalgia of, you know, the scenes from way back when.
Oh, right.
I don't know. I kind of like those type of movies sometimes because it just seems a lot more simpler back then. Obviously, much more simple than now.
Yes. Let's move on to your fourth choice, and that one is Meet the Parents. This is starring Robert De Niro and Ben Stiller. Why is this one on your list?
You know what? Because I like funny, and that movie to me is funny. It makes fun of some of the things that we, you know, Ben Stiller is good at making fun and laughing at some of the things that we go through and see in life, like the whole airport scene, you know, how ridiculous it is. He has to wait in line, and, you know, the gal's just kind of trying to pretend like, oh, yeah, I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing the right thing when she's being ridiculous. And, you know, just some of the things and the pretentiousness of people. And, you know, sometimes I just like to have a funny movie to watch.
And this one fits the bill for you?
Yeah, this one fits the bill. It's my kind of humor. Makes fun of some of the things like we take too seriously sometimes.
Right.
I think it's just a nice break for me to be able to laugh in a movie. And that one makes me laugh.
Great. Well, let's move on to your fifth one. And this is, I have seen this one as well. It's Tombstone, starring Kurt Russell and Val Kilmer. Why is this one on your list?
You know, for one thing, it's kind of an, you know, a modern old Western.
A modern old Western, okay.
And, yeah, modernly made Western.
Right.
But overall thing is, you know, it's the good guys and bad guys thing. Mm. You know, there's a lot of people that can't figure out who the good guys and what the bad guys and the good guys want. And I'm pretty clear about that in my world. I like the good guys to win, and I don't like the bad guys to win. You know, bottom line is that's what that movie is. Good guys win in the end, and the bad guys lose badly.
Yes, that's good.
So anyway, it's pretty much boils it down to that.
I think I like one of the phrases that came out of this, and I'm not sure if I'm going to get this right, but Val Kilmer's character says, "I'm your Huckleberry."
Is it? Yeah. Doc Holliday.
Doc Holliday. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Yep.
I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just walked over your grave.
Fight's not with you, Holliday.
I beg to differ, sir. We started a game we never got to finish. Play for blood, remember?
I was just fooling about.
I wasn't. And this time, legal.
After he pretends to be sicker than he was, and he knows that this one gunfighter might likely, you know, kill his friend, but he doesn't think he could kill him, he shows up, intervene in that gunfight. Yeah, and everybody likes that because he immediately ends that guy.
Right. Takes care of the situation.
Which was the worst of the bad guys. You always like that, when the worst of the bad guys is gone. But yeah, those are some of the movies. I mean, obviously, there's a ton more.
Right. I'm speaking with the mayor of Murrieta, Kelly Sciarto, and he's talking about his top five movies, but now we're going to change gears and talk about something that's cool, unique, interesting, you're passionate about, going on in the city of Murrieta. What is it?
Well, you know what? One of the things that has been developing kind of slowly over the last few years, and we're finally getting more of the pieces put together, is our town square park. The importance of our town square park is that that's where we have our remembrance type of events, our memorials. We have some war memorials down there. We have a 9/11 memorial. We're soon to have a Holocaust memorial section. And it's also where we're going to have a display called Murrieta Through Time that is being put up by a Rotary.
Nice.
So, yeah, and what it'll show are different phases of Murrieta over the last however many, you know, 100 years or whatever it is. And we're also adding a stage, a shell, bathrooms, and in other words, we're bringing the park up to its kind of completed state. And we should have that, most of that done in the next year and a half or so. It is really an awesome gathering place. You know, that's where we have our field of honor for the flags,
right,
that the Rotary sponsors every year. In our Veterans Memorial Week, basically, our Veterans Day week, we have events every day. So it's a really great gathering place. I think it's a place where some of our veterans can go up to the memorial that makes sense for them. And, you know, just kind of see those things and understand how much our community cares, you know, about all the people that put their lives on the line so that we can have, you know, these great lives that we're trying to live.
And where specifically is it located?
It's right there in the middle of city where the city hall is, One Town Square.
Perfect.
Boulevard, I guess. No, it's on the corner of Kalmia and Jefferson. It's behind the library. It sits in the middle of the library, the police station, Senior Citizen Center, and the City Hall, and eventually whatever else goes around it.
Wow. So, Talk about your town all collected in one area. How nice.
So we're excited about that, actually getting it to the more completed state.
Perfect. Thank you so much for sharing about your city, and thanks for sharing your top five movies with me. I appreciate it.
All right. Very good, Lillian. Thank you so much.
To learn more about the city of Murrieta, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles and click on the link. After a break, I'll speak with Roger Malinowski, co-owner of Huck Finn Jubilee Music Festival. And then I'll share how you could win a cookbook written by the TV host of Milk Street, Christopher Kimball. So stay with us. You're listening to Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez. My guest is Roger Malinowski. He is a co-owner of the Huck Finn Jubilee that's coming to the community very soon. Welcome to Lifestyles, Roger.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the time.
So Huck Finn Jubilee goes back a long time. It used to be up in the high desert at one point. Tell me what Huck Finn Jubilee is and what goes on there.
Absolutely. So Huck Finn Jubilee is in our 42nd year of operation. It was up in the high desert for a number of years, family-owned. The city of Ontario took it over for a couple of years and then hence shut it down. But we've taken it over. It's family-owned again, which we're very proud to say. It's a bluegrass music festival, and it has activities for kids. Kids are free, under 12. We've got great music, we've got great food, great drinks, beer, activities. It's just a really good family event. People come out and camp and spend the weekend with us and have a lot of fun.
Guests have the opportunity to come one day, 2 days, or camp. What are the types of things they'll experience when they're there? Not just the eating, but I know there's probably vendors. And then we'll talk about the music.
Absolutely, yeah. They can come one day, 2 days, the whole weekend. We load in camping on Thursday, so they can actually camp for 3 nights. RV and/or tent camping is available. The types of activities you could expect, yeah, there is more than just food and beer. We've got craft vendors that bring everything from jewelry and apparel to art. We have actually some live art that takes place. We have some painters that come and do everything from watercolors and acrylics and drawing, anything that's happening live. We've got activities for the kids that's programmed throughout the days, including puppet shows and parades and face painting. And then, yeah, to speak to the music, it's a variety. We've got the traditional bluegrass, which is what this was founded on. It's really important to us in the festival. And then we've got a little bit of Americana, some folk, you know, some other music that's just really fun and family friendly and something for everyone, you know, no matter what the age.
So you said there's 2 days, and typically when you see these kinds of things, they're usually on a Saturday, Sunday. But yours is unique and it's on a Friday, Saturday, which I really like. So is Friday, is it all day? Is it half day, starts later?
Yeah, we're going to open up at 11 o'clock on Friday. We're thinking maybe people want to play hooky on Friday and come and join us. You know, we know Sundays are tough too. Like, people have church and other family activities. They're, you know, free to kind of hang out with us, or they can head out to those events. They also have work on Monday, so we just wanted to have a really good time over the weekend, and that's kind of why we did it this way.
Well, I like the idea of playing hooky on Friday, so that sounds good. And what time does it go to in the evenings?
Goes to 11 o'clock. The doors are 11 to 11. Music from about noon to 11 both days.
Wow.
And then we have actually a really unique thing go on in our campgrounds. There is the pickers section of the RV camping spot. We party till pretty late, I guess early in the morning. We were up with some pickers last year until about 4 in the morning. Just groups of people who bring their instruments and get together and form various circles and play tunes together. And that's the beauty of this thing, is coming together as a community and playing music together, laughing together. And so that goes on far later into the night, but formal programming ends at 11.
And then on Saturday, you start at what time and go till 11 o'clock again?
Yeah, same thing, 11 o'clock, music starting at noon, going to 11 p.m. again, and more of the same in terms of the picking in the campgrounds.
And the kids' activities are available on both days, so whichever day the guests come, they're going to have about the same experience. The music might be just a little bit different.
Yeah, music will be different. We're doing a lot of the traditional bluegrass on Friday, and then we're stretching it a bit on Saturday with bands like Railroad Earth, California Honey Drops, Dust Bowl Revival. They have stretched the genre a little bit, but in ways that we certainly enjoy and hope our audience will enjoy. But yeah, you're right. The kids' activities go on each day, and so there's something a little bit different each day. So we invite people to come both days if they can make it. If not, I'm sure they'll have a great time either way.
And why do you say stretch the music? Does that mean it's not true bluegrass and you're going out on the perimeter of bluegrass, or why do you say stretch the music?
Yeah, that's a great question. I appreciate you asking that. So there is traditional bluegrass, which we know and love and would lack drum sets and make sure it has a banjo and totally acoustic and has a certain form and format. That is the traditional bluegrass. Bluegrass music as a genre has evolved, like many other forms of music, country and rock and roll and the sort. So we love what's happening in the genre as well. Like, we tip our hats to the roots music that is true traditional bluegrass. But we also love the evolution and what people are doing with it, and kind of loosening up in terms of the instrumentation, adding drum kits every once in a while, or an electric bass, or, you know, the way that they treat the format of the music with soloing and kind of more of an open format. And so, yeah, it's stretching from the traditional bluegrass, but always kind of on the fringe and the perimeter. You know, it's a family event, so you're not going to have any issues with heavy metal or anything that's too far afield.
Got it. So why did you and your wife decide to take this on or buy and be owners of this event? What was it about it for you two?
Yeah, well, we attended in 2016, and we couldn't believe that there was this amazing festival, like, right in our backyards. We live in West Covina, that had been going on for 40 years. 2016 was our first year of attendance, and we saw amazing musicianship, great bands. And moreover, we really found a community of people that, I don't know, we just couldn't let this thing die. The people were so welcoming and warm and nice and friendly. Our daughter was 2.5 years old at that time. She had a lot to do and had a lot of fun. It was a safe environment to go and hang out and enjoy music. And I think that's really it, is my wife and I have loved music festivals throughout our lives. I'm a former musician. She's a former dancer.
Okay.
We've always loved festivals, and this one was something magical, and we just found a way that we can still be at a festival but bring the kids and get the best of both worlds.
So did you give up your day job, or has this become your day and your night job?
No, still have the day jobs. Yeah, so we're
hustling.
We're working quite a bit. It's a nights and weekends kind of a thing. We've got a great team together, At some point, maybe in the future, we can step away from those things. But this is a passion project. This is something we do because we love it, and we want to see it continue.
Well, how wonderful. I've been speaking with Roger Malinowski. He is the co-owner of the Huck Finn Jubilee. It's coming to the Inland Empire on September 27th and 28th. That's a Friday and Saturday at Guasti Park. I hope it's a success and that our community flocks to enjoy the music.
Thank you so much for the exposure here.
To learn more about the Huck Finn Jubilee Music Festival, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles and click on the link for today's show. While you're there, you can also get tickets to the event, a great way to spend a day or a weekend and support KVCR at the same time. It's a win-win. Chris Kimball is the author and host of Milk Street, seen on PBS stations. Empire KVCR-TV broadcasts his show every Friday afternoon at 1:30. His show aims to change the way you cook by traveling the world for unique recipe ideas and cooking techniques. I've had the opportunity to interview Chris, and I'm going to interview him again in the coming weeks. But I wanted to ask you, if you were interviewing Chris, what would you ask him? Submit your question at our website, and if I use the question in the interview, we'll send you a copy of Chris's newest cookbook, The Complete Milk Street TV Show Cookbook. Those who have submitted a winning question will hear their question answered on Lifestyles. Go to our website at kvcinews.org/lifestyles to submit your question for a chance to win. Deadline to submit is September 30th. And just a reminder, the new season of Milk Street premieres on Empire KVCR TV Friday, October 18th at 1:30. That's our show for this week. To hear any of our past shows, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles. You can also listen to Lifestyles on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. Search for Lifestyles with Lillian Vasquez on your streaming service and take the show on the go. If you have a topic or an idea for a segment, leave me a message at our website. You know it, kvcrnews.org/lifestyles. Thanks to all who helped to make this show possible, including Sharina Wadd, David Fleming, Sean Houlihan, and executive producer Rick Dulock. Our theme music is provided by Ethan Bortnick. Join me next week at the same time for Lifestyles with me, Lillian Vasquez. Bye for now.